Hello, everyone, and welcome to the second annual Fundraising Success Virtual Conference and Expo. I'm Margaret Battistelli, Editor-in-Chief of Fundraising Success Magazine. Welcome to another great session designed to help you engage, enlighten, and empower donors, which, as you know, is the theme for today's conference. This session, The New Face of Corporate Giving, will focus on how to approach businesses for charitable partnerships and how to keep the love alive once the deal is inked. It's not as clear-cut as it once appeared to be. But before we get started, there are a few technical pointers I need to share to ensure you get the most out of the session. This is an on-demand session, so if you have any technical difficulties while viewing, shoot us an email at virtualshowinfo@napco.com, and someone will get back to you shortly. To get a PDF version of the slide presentation for further reference, click on the Download Slides button on the console. If you leave the session at any time or would like to view it again later, you can access the entire presentation from the auditorium in the Fundraising Success Virtual Conference and Expo on-demand environment, which will be open for 3 months beginning on Monday, May 23, 2011. Finally, if you're on Twitter, we encourage you to tweet about the show today and about this session. Please use hashtag #FSV2011 when doing so. Presenting for us today are Molly Dewar, Associate Director of American Diabetes Association of Minneapolis, and Sybil Freeman, Director of Corporate Development at the American Diabetes Association in Atlanta. With all of that out of the way, ladies, I turn it over to you.
Thank you so much, Margaret. There are over 1.5 million nonprofits in the United States. As an organization, you need to find a way to differentiate your organization from other nonprofits. One way to do this is to ask for corporate sponsorship support and how you nurture that relationship after the ink is dry on the contract. Securing sponsorship is not as easy as just making the ask. The days are gone when mass mailings work to secure lucrative, long-term, win-win sponsorships. Today we're going to talk about the new face of corporate philanthropy. Companies are looking for mutually beneficial relationships. They want a win-win sponsorship for the company and for the nonprofit. The core philosophy at the American Diabetes Association is customer service. The American Diabetes Association is a large national nonprofit organization where basically each office runs as its own business. We have over 80 offices across the country. Local markets need to sign their own contracts to make the office financially viable. The contracts which our home office sign are overarching to support the organization as a whole, not necessarily to support the local office's events. Sybil and I have a combined 20 years of experience and have been through corporate sponsorship trainings. What we both agree on is that no matter how long you've been doing corporate sponsorship, you can always use a refresher. As an organization, a corporate sponsor is one of your most valuable assets, not only because of the financial impact, but also the relationships, network, and employee base for engagement in your organization. Companies are looking to align with nonprofits because it is good for increasing business and creates a positive corporate image within the community. More corporations are assessing what nonprofits they are aligning with and how to be most strategic with the money that they have available. Corporations are no longer giving money because you are a good nonprofit. As a nonprofit, be strategic on what corporations you are engaging. Evaluate if there is a link, interest, and ability. Do you have the link to your organization, your mission, events, core vision? Do they have an interest in being engaged with your organization, and do they have the ability to become engaged? A company should ideally have two out of the three. Do your homework on a corporation before you approach them for corporate support. Assess your nonprofit like you were a corporation looking to become involved. Analyze your organization and what you have that a corporation would want. Explore how to bundle these opportunities to be a win-win for your organization as well as for the sponsor. Be creative in your assessment and ask for input from board and other volunteers. They're involved with your organization for a reason and will oftentimes be the ones helping you to sell your sponsorships. Involve other stakeholders and staff in your office. Make sure that the staff are involved so that the left hand and the right hand know what they're doing and are in agreement of what types of benefits can be offered to sponsors.
In addition to an internal assessment, it's important to research and prospect appropriate companies. There is a wealth of information on corporate websites, through search engines and other resources, including your board and volunteers, that can help you create a targeted corporate prospect list. There's enough business to go around, so rather than listing prospects for the sake of listing them, we recommend asking yourself questions about companies you're looking to engage. Their corporate culture, who they are and what they do, their industry, and the competition. Because after all, the competition can also be added to your hit list. Are they realistically a good fit for your nonprofit? If they are, you should know it and believe it. Too many times, nonprofits approach the business community in a tentative manner and wonder why they either fail or get small contributions. If you don't show your passion and belief that they are a great fit, why should they care about your organization? What value can you bring to them? In other words, what's in it for them? Taking from the Boy Scouts motto, be prepared. Plan your strategy before reaching out. Develop a targeted script, write it down, and practice it. And this is important because sometimes we think, oh, I'm just going to pick up the phone and call somebody. But at the end of the day, if you really do not have it solidified in your head what you want to say, you may very well miss your opportunity to really get your point across. You may only get one chance at a corporate prospect. So the thing to do is to make it count. Who is the right person at a company for you to talk to? And who is the right person in your organization to reach out to that right person? While most of the time it may be you, sometimes it isn't. It could be a board member. It could be another volunteer. It could be someone who has a secondary relationship with your organization. But at the end of the day, make the right person be the right person to talk to the right person. Try to avoid being relegated to community or public affairs. While it is very important to have those relationships, go for the money people. Shoot for decision makers at the top. If you can't get to the top, engage someone in the right department and get them to be your champion so that they can help you navigate to the top. Many times the person that you need to talk to is a marketing director. It could be a vice president of marketing. It could be a marketing manager. But what you want them to do is to look at you outside of the box of a nonprofit. You want them to look at you as an opportunity to grow their business if that's important to them. Stay the course and be persistent without stalking. Voicemail has become the new gatekeeper. So use it to your advantage by leaving compelling messages that are designed to get people to return your call. The same thing is true with email. Many times people prefer to be addressed through email. So make your email count. And certainly that subject line can be critical as to whether someone's going to read your email or not. So do your best to get through the clutter so that that person can take your message and just look at what they need to look at. So you've finally gotten a marketing director to agree to either meet with you or do a phone meeting. Now what? Well, for starters, your homework isn't done yet. So don't hand them a sponsorship proposal or jump into a discussion of what you want from them. Develop a rapport so that you can ask questions. This is your opportunity to learn about their hot buttons and move closer to your objective of engaging them with your organization. Learn as much as you can about their challenges and their needs so that you can sell them some really good solutions. So you're asking, okay, I should ask questions. Well, what kinds of questions should I ask? Well, to help you with your discussion, we recommend covering the categories on this slide. This will help you understand their needs so that you can help them with solutions in your proposal. There are 9 areas that you certainly want to see if you can cover. And what I'll do is just give you some recommended questions that you could ask based on each one of those categories. So under key objectives, what are your primary marketing objectives? What are some of the challenges you face as a company? What do you look to achieve in sponsorships? Under target audience, who is your primary audience? And another question that you want to ask them, is there an audience you aren't interested in reaching? This is a good question to ask because it helps you solidify if you have a target audience for any of your initiatives or, quite frankly, for your entire organization that may not be ideal for them. And that will help you in your process as you develop a proposal if you find that it's important to go forward.
Sybil, could I ask a question around that?
Sure.
Would it also be helpful to find out if there is an audience that the company wants to reach but hasn't been able to yet
Absolutely.
That would possibly be a crossover with who your clients are.
Absolutely. And what that does is that is a challenge that they face. And if you are in a position where you can help them meet that challenge, that puts you one step closer to them being engaged with your organization. So that's a great question, Margaret.
Thank you.
The next step would be in terms of their sponsorship experience. What sponsorships have you supported? What types of promotions work for your company? And many times the answers to these questions will be tied around sponsorships that may be on the for-profit sector. But this is good information for you to have because it gives you a feel for the types of things that they have been engaged in and to see if there are opportunities that you have within your organization that can help them in that area as well. Image compatibility. How do you want to be seen in the public? And what you also need to ask yourself as a nonprofit, with the image that they want to convey in the public eye, also what your nonprofit do you want your image to be aligned with theirs? You want to ask questions about their budget because it helps you to get an understanding of what type of financial resources they may have for sponsorships with the nonprofit. Now, sometimes budget discussions can get a little tricky because a corporate person may not want to share that information with you. So we recommend that you ask probing, open-ended questions to see if you can get some insights in terms of their budget process. You want to ask, is there a range of a budget that they may have? If they don't tell you, then my recommendation, and at least this is what we do here at the association, is that we shoot high on a proposal because you can certainly work yourself down from a high quote, but you can't work yourself up from a low one. Under the decision-making process, who besides yourself will be involved in the decision-making process? How does a sponsorship approval process work in your company? What criteria will be used to evaluate our proposal? And this is important because it helps you to understand their process. It may be a short one. It may be a long one. It may just be the person that you're talking to that can make that decision, or it may be a committee decision. But it's important for you to know that. And hopefully you can also get some insights on the names and the titles of the people that may be in that process in the event you are also able to touch them. I skipped one, the measurement criteria. How will you measure success? Would you like us to make some recommendations? And the reason that we say that is that when I mentioned before, know that they are a good fit and believe it. And part of that belief is that you have a fabulous nonprofit that can help them do and meet whatever objectives they may have. In this process, with the measurement criteria, it really shows just how passionate you feel about what you can deliver because you are telling them, I want you to measure what we do for you. Because here's what you know. If you've done your homework and if you can put something in front of them that truly makes sense, their measurement of it will be a successful measurement, which gives you an opportunity to take that relationship forward year after year after year. How have you worked with other nonprofits in the past? Do you mind sharing some of your positive and negative experiences? This helps you to get an understanding of relationships that they've had with other nonprofits and whether they were good relationships, bad relationships, or ho-hum relationships. It also helps you, especially if they were excited about something that a nonprofit did or very disappointed about something that a nonprofit did. It helps you to make sure that you don't step into those same negative minefields, but that you exceed the expectations on the positive ones. When's the best time for us to come back and present a customized proposal? What you want to do is to move this process along. So do not leave that appointment without getting a commitment for when is the time that you can come back and put something in front of them. And many times, again, because we live in an email world, people will say, just send me a proposal via email. What you want to do is to try to put yourself in a position where you can get another face-to-face. And if it's a group of people that make the decision about this particular proposal, to see if you can set up a group meeting so that you can really come in and present your case. It may be an opportunity for you to bring in a board member or a key volunteer that can help you move that process along, but you want to get in that door and dazzle them with what you have to offer. Because your success is directly linked to your ability to understand and to communicate your offer in the context of what they need. Now, based on what you've learned, you still haven't finished your homework, it's a good idea to reassess your nonprofit and what you have to offer the prospect. When Molly talked earlier, she mentioned the importance of looking at all of your assets so that you can develop a customized package that isn't limited to one or two activities. This provides you an excellent opportunity to develop a year-round relationship with this prospect and command large financial commitments. Make sure your internal stakeholders are on board. That's everyone working at your nonprofit that has responsibility for one of your valuable assets. Whether it's programs, special events, you get the idea. Because if you do not have your internal stakeholders involved and they are not on board with what you're trying to accomplish, you run the risk of something bogging down during the course of the relationship with that prospect. And it also helps everyone to take ownership and to feel that they have a stake in making this a very successful relationship for your nonprofit. Leverage your assets and make sure you can deliver on any promises. Too many times, nonprofits, you know, we need the money. You know, we're always needing the money. There's never enough resources. But what we don't do is make sure that we deliver on what we said we were going to deliver on. Remember, this is a business relationship, and while they do want to support and believe in your nonprofit, it still is a business relationship, and we have to be very clear that we treat it as good business and that we over-exceed expectations. This entire process is critical to your success, and while it may take a bit of time and work to do your homework, the rewards far outweigh your efforts. Now, Molly has a couple of case studies she'd like to share with you that will help you to solidify why we recommend doing your homework.
Thank you, Sybil. From experience, I've learned that companies are more interested in supporting the cause than how many T-shirts or logos will be placed on. What we did here in Minnesota was we streamlined the sponsorship process so that we are making an ask once a year for support. Previously, we were asking many times a year for every event and every program we did. What we did, we created an annual support sponsorship proposal. What this does is it offers the benefits to a company to participate in many of ADA's events, which increases their overall exposure that the company is getting. This slide is an overview of the events and programs that we do in Minnesota. The annual support proposal opens the door for us to have the conversation on what the company's interests are, whether they're a past one-event sponsor or a new sponsor looking to become involved. This proposal has allowed us to give sponsors more benefits than a typical piece-by-piece event proposal because we know their commitment and their involvement for the entire year. If what you're doing isn't working, change how you work. And that's what we did here in Minnesota about 3 years ago. By creating this proposal, we've had proven success, increased involvement from board in prospecting, and created a win-win opportunity for ADA and the sponsor. With the board, we've created a database of 400 companies and evaluated these companies based on size. We found that it's easier for us to get money from small to mid-sized companies than the very large companies because there's a longer process, there is more lead time, more requirements. With the small to mid-sized companies, it's usually one or two people that are part of the decision-making team. We also evaluated the companies on their link. Was there a link to diabetes, a diabetes-related product, or a comorbidity related to diabetes? We looked at the number of employees the company had, whether they'd been a past sponsor or somehow involved in the ADA in the past. That's whether they had employees who participated on a team with our walk or whether they gave us a direct financial contribution. We also looked at if there was a board or staff member connection with that company. Once we created the top tier and identified that, we conducted additional research, and then we had board members start setting up meetings. So I have two case studies that I'll share with you. The first case study, we secured a $25,000 sponsorship. This company was identified on the prospect list with our board members. This company was evaluated on their link to the cause, their interest, and their ability. The board member was able to arrange an introductory meeting about our Tour de Cure, which is a cycling and fundraising event that we have. The staff and board member prepared a presentation including who we are, what we do, and we shared our annual support proposal as a conversation piece to discover what they were looking for in a relationship with the American Diabetes Association. What we discovered is that they were interested specifically in brand recognition, logo placement, and participant contact at all of our events. From there, we created a proposal based on the discussion as well as their interests. We identified one lead staff person to manage this relationship because it included 13 different events and programs. We established regular communication with the company to help with managing their expectations. We also conducted a midpoint evaluation. When we had the midpoint evaluation, we were about halfway through the events and programs that they were participating in for the year. What we discovered was that the company wasn't implementing a measurement plan on how their funds were impacting their return on investment. When we learned that, our staff here at the American Diabetes Association then established a measurement plan for the remaining events during that year. In that last case study, they did sign on the following year as an annual support sponsor. In the second case study, this is a company that's in the diabetes industry. They had been a longtime supporter of the American Diabetes Association. We set up a meeting with them to discuss the annual support proposal. During the conversation, we learned that the company was having challenges with some changes that had taken place in the clinics here in Minnesota. The clinics had become closed-door clinics, meaning that the pharmaceutical sales reps didn't have access into the clinics to meet with the healthcare professionals or patients. We listened to this challenge and created an innovative solution for them to connect with patients through a Winning at Work sponsorship. The Winning at Work sponsorship created the opportunity for the company to co-present diabetes information in a corporate setting. This was mutually beneficial because the company was reaching new patients with important information. And for ADA, we had a sponsor for a Winning at Work program, which previously we had offered as a free service to companies. It is important that we do not take industry for granted. Through listening to our sponsors' needs, we were able to create an opportunity that not only they were interested in, but other industries that were facing similar challenges were able to convert their sponsorship to a similar type of sponsorship agreement. This sponsorship showcases the investment this company was willing to make in the organization to build on the success. The following year, this company increased their sponsorship support to $10,000.
Thank you, Molly. Those were two great examples. And the beauty of the examples that Molly displayed are one was industry, one was not industry. In her first example, she really highlighted the measurement piece. This company was not using their measurement tool for what they were doing with the American Diabetes Association in Minneapolis. But Minneapolis is very clear on how well they do what they do, so they went back to the company to talk about, let's make sure that you have a measurement piece here so that you can really see just how well we did or did not do for you. What Molly and her team already knew is that they were going to deliver. They knew that before they even walked in the door to meet with that company. And it helped this company also see that the American Diabetes Association in Minneapolis is very business and strategic oriented and knows how to take care of their customers. In the second example, and all of us work with industry and nonprofit, many times that's our low-hanging fruit, and many times we take them for granted. What Molly did was went in and listened to this industry contact and was able to come up with a wonderful plan that helped them to grow their business and also to grow the American Diabetes Association business. The other piece of it is, with these two examples, is that many times we rely exclusively on industry. And that can be a problem because in a troubled economy or an industry that may be troubled, if all of our funding is coming from that one avenue, then we're in trouble when they start failing us. So we always have to make sure that we have a wide variety of relationships so that we can keep our missions going and doing the good work that all nonprofits do. As a nonprofit leading the fight to stop diabetes, the American Diabetes Association takes our client services philosophy to heart. It is like breathing for us. We can't do what we do without strong financial support from the corporate community. So taking positive actions is critical to our success. And we use the word actions because it's an acronym for Activate, communicate, and track ideas through ongoing nurturing and service. We believe that if you want to keep the love alive, you have to keep the mantra going of nurturing and servicing, servicing and nurturing your prospect. The sale really begins after the contract has been closed, not before it. Because now it's like, okay, I have said I want to align with you. Show me what you have. And it's our job to make sure that we do and that we are always touching our prospects in relevant ways. So it doesn't mean just to touch them, just to be touching them, but it's a valuable and meaningful conversation that we explore new opportunities and needs because those can change all the time, and that we address concerns appropriately and quickly. We engage on all levels so that we just don't stay with the person that we talked to initially. We really ingrain ourselves with the company because it also gives us an opportunity for employees to become engaged in our nonprofit, for the top leadership of the company to become engaged, and for that relationship to really grow further. This process never ends. So make it your mantra, nurture and service, service and nurture. We hope that you found this presentation valuable today and want to thank you so much for your time. Many of you are saying, oh, I already know this, but I've been selling not only in the nonprofit sector but also in the for-profit sector for a lot of years. And one thing I've learned is that I can always learn. For those of you that this may be new to, it may seem like it's overwhelming, but just take it one step at a time. And what you'll find is that your volunteers and your board and your external relationships can help you through this process because many of them are already in the corporate community. Thank you.
Sybil, I have a question. A lot of what we talked about through the webinar today has a lot to do with, at least it sounds to me, nonprofit organizations having to get a little bit into the corporate mindset to maybe start to speak the corporate language and just think about what they're doing really as business. And you said a couple of times that this is a business partnership. Do you feel that that's a stumbling block for organizations? Because for so long, the nonprofit sector has really thought of itself as not a business.
Right. Thank you so much for that question, Margaret. And it's a great question. And more nonprofits are stepping into the corporate arena because they realize that their nonprofit really cannot survive in today's economy and in the future unless we do. We have to broaden our outreach and look at opportunities. And there are thousands of opportunities out there. It is very scary because nonprofits historically, the mindset has been we are doing good. And we are. But at the end of the day, your nonprofit is a business. You are in the business of whatever your mission is. And you are in the business of raising funds so that you can further your mission and help the constituency that you help. If we think of it that way, the beauty of our situations is that we are in the business, but we are also in the feel-good business. We are also in the helping business. We are also in making a difference business. And what we need to do is to translate that passion to corporations that we work with. The other thing that is happening is that many nonprofits are stepping out of the arena of nonprofit in terms of hiring new staff. So they are seriously looking at people in the corporate community to bring a different eye to the nonprofit. I've spent most of my career on the for-profit side. But I was heavily involved in nonprofit as a volunteer because I was raised that way. And for me, it's like breathing. It was a difficult step to make it to decide, okay, I want to do this as my career choice. And it was an adjustment because nonprofits just don't have the resources that for-profit companies have. But it helped me, because of my for-profit background, to bring some of that corporate mindset to the nonprofit to help us move our business further. So I think it's important for nonprofits to think about doing that because that brings a whole wealth and a whole different mindset to the equation. Yes, it is difficult many times for us to try to start thinking like corporations, but it's not impossible. And nonprofits, and we all know this, we have to find creative ways all the time of doing what we do. This is another creative way that we're going to have to look at the corporate community.
Thank you, Sybil. Molly, I want to touch on something, go back to something that you had talked about very early on in the session. And you mentioned aligning the nonprofit's mission with the corporation or the company that they're approaching for partnerships. Can you talk a little bit more about that? I mean, how closely does it have to be aligned? How do you figure out what a good fit would be? You know, and is there some, you know, is there some indication that maybe this is too much of a stretch?
Thanks for the question, Margaret. When we went through and we did our classification with our board members, as I said, we weren't just looking for companies that made a diabetes product or, like you're saying, that there was an easy connection. We really started to think outside of the box. With diabetes, there are a lot of comorbidities in that diabetes affects every part of your body, your eyes, your feet, your nerves, your kidneys. And what we did is we looked at companies that reached into some of that, that it wasn't just diabetes, it was some of the other complications related to diabetes. An example, not necessarily somebody who did a corporate annual support sponsorship with us, but who's participated in our events, is a construction company. You don't necessarily think diabetes in a construction company, but this construction company created barrier-free housing. And with diabetes, there is oftentimes issues with mobility because of nerve damage or neuropathy. So that was another company, you know, that became involved with our organization. Another example is on a national level, we have a funeral home who participates with us, not only because of the importance of your health where you're living, but also to make sure that you have made those plans and are prepared with kind of the end-of-life planning. And there are some financial companies that we've had involved with us because of the importance in not only looking at your diabetes health, but looking at your financial health. So if there is that ability to have that connection with our mission and, you know, finding that connection with diabetes, it is a company that we'll have that conversation with.
Okay, Sybil, do you have anything to add on that?
And I could piggyback on that as well. And this may apply to some of the other nonprofits that may be listening. With our being a health organization and diabetes being our focus, unfortunately, with any company, diabetes is going to affect that company. And that's unfortunate. So that we do have a connection there, not only are we aligning with companies in terms of their financial support, we're also aligning with companies, whether they support us or not, to help them help their employees get healthier. You know, what happens in many cases, sometimes when we forge a relationship with a company, it may start out on the us helping them side of the table, where we may go in and do corporate lunch and learns, where we're doing education seminars on diabetes. And as Molly mentioned, there are a lot of comorbidities that go with diabetes, from heart disease to issues with your eyes to your feet to the whole nine yards. And at the end of the day for us is that when we talk about living healthy and avoiding or managing diabetes, at the end of the day, it still is all about healthy living, which is important to everybody. So that gives us an entree that perhaps some other nonprofits may not have because they may or may not be a health organization. But even without that, is that in terms of looking at ways that we can link where they have an interest and where they have an ability, part of it is, and we use the word corporate philanthropy for a reason. There are a lot of nonprofits out there, as we know, like more than 1.5 million. Aligning to make a difference in the lives of people, say, with diabetes, us, or whatever it may be, a company has an interest in aligning with nonprofits in most cases. And what we also want to do is to help them find the link and also potentially, if they have the ability, to make that happen. So whether your nonprofit is about, you know, whether it's cleaning up our airspace, whether it's about children, whether it's about health, or whether it's about whatever, there is a link somewhere with some company. And that's why we say when you make a list, make sure that list makes sense as opposed to it just being a list. You know, you go through, you know, the yellow pages and list every company. Well, most of them are not going to be a fit until you figure out, okay, how do the pieces fit? And if the pieces don't fit, don't go there. You're wasting your time, you're wasting their time. So this gives you all good opportunities to just make those kinds of things happen.
Now, this might not be something that happens often, or maybe it is, I don't know, but what about if you're an organization and you're approached by a company that wants to partner with you and has money to give, but you as an organization are looking at that company and think, this just really doesn't make sense for us. Obviously, you're going to want to do that. You're going to want to make it work. But at what point do you say, I don't think that this is going to work?
Well, we are in that position quite often because we are a health organization, and we do have very specific guidelines in terms of who we can and cannot align with. So, for example, here locally in Atlanta, we had a tobacco retailer that wanted to align with our annual walk. And they came up with a very creative plan in terms of how they wanted to be engaged with us. You know, the money was very attractive. But at the end of the day, tobacco and diabetes don't mix. So we had to say to them, you know, in a very nice way, thank you, but no thank you. We also run up against that with some food manufacturers because we do have some very interesting food guidelines at the association. And there are always food manufacturers that are looking at ways to align with us. But if we are going to be credible and objective and the go-to organization as it relates to diabetes, then if we're going to talk the talk, we have to walk the walk. So we've walked away from quite a bit of money. But here's what we also know is that for every one that is not a good fit, there probably are another two that are. And so what we need to do is go down that path. We're always gracious when people do come to us. We explain to them why we can or cannot align with them. It's always hard to walk away from a financial opportunity. But for each one of us, in terms of our own image and in terms of our mission, we have to make that decision that we're still going to be credible at the end of the day so that if it doesn't fit, it just doesn't fit. You know, and I've recommended other nonprofits that companies that we won't support that they may want to support. So that at least I am helping them to go down a different path. We totally understand why they come to us, but it just if it just doesn't fit, we can't do it. Yeah.
So very often a good corporate partnership may involve a degree of co-branding where your organization becomes aligned with that corporation in the public's eye. Do you have any examples of maybe where you've gotten feedback that isn't particularly positive about a partnership that you've developed, or in whether you have or haven't, can you address that and how a nonprofit would address that with their donors who maybe are not happy with a corporate partnership that's out there?
Sometimes we, with us being a health organization, we work quite a bit with the pharmaceutical industry. And, you know, there are a lot of feelings, positive and negative, about pharmaceutical companies. So we sometimes do get feedback from our constituency as well as people who are not engaged with us about our relationship with pharmaceuticals. Sometimes, most of the time, it is a misconception because the question may be, well, because they do support you so heavily, they have impact and voice in how the association runs. They don't. And I can't say it any other way. And what we explain to people is that in order for us to further our mission, we have to align ourselves with organizations that fit within the genre of what we're trying to accomplish. What we know is that certain pharmaceuticals and drugs and medicines have helped people with diabetes. We're not saying it's the be-all and end-all. It's one of the ways in order to help people manage diabetes. So it's sometimes a very difficult conversation, but we do have it, and we do have it often. But most of the time when we do explain to whoever it is that may be raising that question, this is how it works, then they get it. Sometimes also what is true is that, and you didn't ask this question, is that, you know, there are a number of diabetes organizations out there. And what we get from the corporate community sometimes on the flip side is, well, why don't all of you work together? Well, you know, we use the analogy, okay, with Coca-Cola and Pepsi co-brand. And so that just kind of brings people up a little bit in terms of understanding that, yes, you may have a different mindset of a nonprofit, but at the end of the day, we are still a business.
Molly, do you have anything that you'd like to add before we wrap up?
I'm in complete agreement with Sybil on the pharmaceutical industry and, you know, the food companies. That's been something, you know, within the American Diabetes Association really over the last 5 years that they've come out with those food guidelines. And as she said, I mean, we've had to change how we're working as far as, you know, interacting with some of those food companies. And I think that it's made us be more innovative in the companies that we are working with and how we're working with them.
Okay, we're just about out of time. I'm going to put you both on the spot for a second. Can you each tell me the one most important piece of advice that you would give to nonprofit organizations that are looking at corporate partnerships?
Yeah, my piece of advice is really to listen to your sponsor, listen to your client, your customer, of what they want. And that's, you know, probably the number one thing that we've learned with this new annual support proposal that we've put together, is instead of us going into a company with our agenda of, you know, what we would like them to support or where we most need the dollars for our association, is really to take a step back and listen to what their objectives are and go from there as far as finding a creative solution.
Okay, great. Sybil, how about you? You're lucky. You got a few extra seconds to think about it.
I agree 100% with Molly because, you know, as nonprofits, we never have enough. We never have enough financial resources. We never have enough people resources. So that sometimes we're so focused on what we need that we're not paying attention to what that prospective sponsor or the relationship that we already have needs. So with our listening to what they have to say, with our trying to understand what they have to say and be able to communicate that back and then come up with a solution, then it puts us all in a position where we move our business forward, where we grow our financial resources, where we engage more and more companies. The other thing I want to say is that nonprofits, again, because we don't have a lot of resources, is that sometimes we let things fall down. Well, we can't do that when people are trusting us with their finances. When they are giving money to us, we have to be good stewards of those dollars, not only in using those funds to further our mission, but also making sure that the relationship and the things that we've promised that we deliver on and, quite frankly, over-deliver on.
Hey, great. Thank you so much, Molly and Sybil. We really appreciate you being here. On behalf of Fundraising Success Magazine, thanks again for attending this virtual conference and expo session. If you're interested in discussing anything that you heard during the presentation, we encourage you to visit the networking lounge to chat live with other session attendees. Please also check out the agenda for the rest of the day today. We have several wonderful sessions lined up, and we encourage you to view as many of them as you can. Remember, excuse me, if you can't watch them live, add them to your briefcase and view them at your convenience in the on-demand environment. Have a great day, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.